It was kind of encouraging. The first song he picked was about loving God. So we're going to teach a thought today as we preach the Word of God. Just simply call it a few lessons about love. A few lessons about love. I would say if you want to teach any subject and you want a title, just say a few facts about this or a few thoughts about this. And you can have a title of anything you want to have a title. So the title really means nothing. But you can teach the Bible and hopefully you read some principles here to help us understand how to be the people that God would have us to be. And 1 John chapter 5, I encourage you to stand just for a moment as we honor the reading of the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 5, notice what the Bible says here beginning in verse number 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So Lord, today we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for this opportunity to learn some things that will help us to be the loving people that you'd have us to be. And Lord, we know that you would have us to be loving people because you are love yourself and you desire us to be like you. So Father, help us to look at these truths in the Bible, help us to accept them, help us to believe them, help us to practice them, and help us to glorify you as we do them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing. Very simply, first thing if you're taking notes in verse number 1, if you love God, you would love His Son. If you love God, you love His Son. Verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, the one that begat is the Heavenly Father, loveth Him that is also begotten of Him. Jesus, as you know from John 3:16, is the only begotten of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we talk about simple verses having power and meaning. The world loves to say, worldly, godly-minded religion loves to say that they love God. But when you bring Jesus Christ into the equation, which is the cornerstone of the faith of the Bible, they don't necessarily always want to receive that. Because if you really look at the life of Christ, there are demands of you that you don't find without Christ. When you look at the example that Christ lived and the way that He took care of people, the way that He was concerned about others, it causes us to have a duty beyond what just normal religion is. Because when I witness often to people, I tell them of how there's so many different things that are wicked that are done in the name of religion. But when you look at the life of Christ, and if you honestly portray yourself to be a Christian, there are so many things that you just no longer cannot do. There are things you just cannot be involved in. There are things you cannot even think about. And so if you love God, you would love His Son. It said that everyone that loveth Him, they be God. So if you love God, you love His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place here and turn back to the book of John, chapter 8. In John chapter 8, notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 31. John chapter 8 and verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. It's a good thought here. If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples. By the way, at the end of the service, I just completed this. I put off some extra copies of this 90-day Bible reading schedule in case someone like to. It starts over on this Tuesday. And I'd like to encourage anyone that would like to be part of that to join in. It'd be good for you to be in the Bible. It'd help you continue in the Word of God. Because, you know, if you have a desire to live a life of faith and live the Bible, it will never take place unless you get in the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And
you can listen to preaching, and I preach the Bible, but you have to have a daily diet, and maybe you read the Bible already, but you'll be amazed at the difference it'll make if you spend a saturated amount of time in the Bible. How else will you ever have a Bible way of thinking if you don't read more about God and get to know Him? The reason why God seems so distant so often is because, honestly, we just really know so little about Him. Think about the number of minutes that you spend reading this or reading that, things during the week. Again, not saying they're wicked or ungodly, but they're just not about God. And even now, because of our electronic age, how often we glued to a phone or to some eye thing that has our attention all the time, and we just never find out information about God. And speaking to those that desire to know Him and to walk with Him, there's just no way to build. You know, it's just like, if you want to be healthy, you have to eat. Is that pretty simple? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that means you would have to put some of it in sometime. And so, just a friendly reminder, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33 of John chapter 8. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of my Father. Let's think about verse 37 here for a moment. You know, many times we don't really want to kill Jesus, but we don't really want to bring Him to the forefront of our life because of what it says here, verse 37, my word hath no place in you. And when we don't have place for God's word in our life, we have difficulty. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent them. And I remind you that Jesus is the Word. So if God is your Father, we love His Son. We love His Word. That's what the Bible says. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Newborn babes desire the milk. And God is your Father. If you love God, you will naturally love His Son. But these highly religious people here, they were committed to religion, but they were not committed to a love of God and His Son. You know, I was saying, I've said it often, but I was talking to somebody just the other day. I said, what really has killed Christianity is church. I said, well, wait a minute. Some of you are glad. Does that mean I don't have to come back? No, you don't have to come back. You get to come back. It's your privilege to come back. Because that is how you learn more about the love of God. But what we formed, and we found a comfort and a confidence in being in church and not necessarily being Christian. Because we can, as a generation of people, we can feel confident about ourselves because we're church-going people. Now, I want to tell you some things I used to do when I went to church every single Sunday. Because I don't want to glorify sin, but it was different from Christian. But when I gave my life to Christ and began to read the Bible and began to recognize that if I really love God, His Son has some demands of me. And if I really love God, He wants me to be like His Son. And so the life that His Son emulates is the life that I should emulate, the life that I should live. So if we love God, you would love the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? If you love someone, guess what? You know what you do if you love someone? you listen to them. Is that right? If you love someone, don't you listen? If you care, the people that you feel like love you, aren't they people that listen to you when you're talking? Is there a witness? Is that right? Is that true? And so, if you love Jesus, who is the Word, you should listen to Him. If you love someone, you spend time with them. So spend time in the Word. If you love someone, you look for opportunities to spend time with them. So seek the Word. And all these things we do, we to show that we have a love for God. John chapter 15. A few pages over. In John chapter 15, we see a startling fact about if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in verse 23, he that hated me hated my Father also. So the world that would speak and say they can love God without loving the Lord Jesus Christ, that is impossible. That's impossible against the Bible. Because they hate the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not clearly love the Heavenly Father. And turn back to where we started, 1 John chapter 5. Actually, go to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, notice what the Bible says here. 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 22, the Bible says here, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." So, if you deny Jesus Christ, you deny the Father. Verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." The word deny means to contradict. So we do not want to contradict the Father. That's the problem with a lot of religion. Even what calls itself Christianity, it contradicts the Father. It contradicts the life of Christ. All the sappy, self-seeking, self-love that is promoted through Christianity instead of just loving God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And it also means to withhold. To deny Christ, to deny the Son, is to withhold Christ. It also means to deny means to refuse. So to deny Christ is to refuse Christ. If to listen when He's speaking to you, are you refusing to answer His call, as we sung about? Are you refusing to submit to that which would bring Him glory, which, by the way, also blesses you? Because God is love, and as it says so often, everything He's done is an act of Himself. He's trying to do that which is best for you. It also means to neglect to acknowledge. When we neglect to acknowledge God in our life, to acknowledge any good thing that comes from us is from God. So if we deny the Son, the Bible says the same hath not the Father. So we want to abide in Christ. We don't want to contradict God. We don't want to contradict Jesus. We don't withhold anything from Christ. And so, as we turn back to 1 John chapter 5, we said, looking at verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him that is also begotten of Him." So again, number one, if you love God, you love His Son. Number two, as you look at verse number 2, if you love others, you love God and keep His commandments. If you love others, you love God and keep His commandments. Notice what verse 2 says. "By this we know that we love the children of God." How do we know we love the children of God? Well, oh, we've got some more here. "When we love God and keep His commandments." That's why I always encourage all my children, when they're looking for their life's mates, it better be someone that loves God. Because it doesn't matter what their words say, if they do not love God based on the authority of the Word of God, they do not love you. Because the world has many, as Brother Mark has pointed out, different platitudes about love. And what he said about following your heart, the world also has many platitudes about love and ideas about what love is. But if they do not love God, they do not love you, because it's impossible. Because there's no way I can love anybody in the world unless I love God. Because God is love. And God is the only one that can instruct me how to love anybody. Now, I can do things for people. I can do that which is pleasing to them. It's just like a little child. a little child thinks it's great when someone gives them his way all the time or her way all the time. They love it. They think it's great. But you know what? That destroys a child when they get their way all the time, get what they want, when they want. Now, I think it's great while it's going on. And many people run from the Christian life because they feel out here they can get what they want. Out in the world they can have what they want and get what they want. But in reality, it is really destroying them. And many times, people look for someone that gives them what they want instead of finding someone that loves God. Because if they love God, they'll love you. And a friend loved at all times. And a friend, the Bible says, also wounded. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. See, good friends don't let us keep our ego intact all the time. A good friend can knock us off our high horse if we need to. Amen. I always think about what Brother David said. He said he prayed for a wife that would love God more than she loved him. But the truth is, if she didn't love God, she could not love him. Because that's according to the verse here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. If you want to love your church members more, you need to love God. That means you need to find out whatever God wants you to do. And you need to love God. And to know means to perceive with certainty. It means to understand clearly. But for this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Because how can I do what's best for someone else when I'm not even willing to do what's best for me? If you're a saved person, Bible believer, is it best for your life to love God and put Him first? Is there a witness in us? All right. The Bible truth? Okay, so how can I do that which is best for somebody else, even if I claim to love them, if I'm not willing to love God? So, number three, so we don't have to spend a lot of time there. That's simple, bring it to a point. Number three, in verse 3, if you love God, you like obedience. If you love God, you like obedience. For this is the love of God. So you're wondering, well, what is the love of God? Because we said, I want to love others. So you were thinking, man, because you want to love God. So how do we do it? Well, it said right here. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. So, if you love God, you keep the commandments. You obey the commandments, and it's not grievous for you to do that. That means you not only obey, but you like obey. Just like when I used to have employees working underneath me, and the people, you know what the favorite workers are? The ones that not only did the work, but they liked the work. There's certain people that would do the work, but you know, sometimes it's almost better to have. Because when I was a supervisor, and even when I was a manager, it was almost like it's better to have somebody that wasn't as good on the job, that actually liked doing the job, than I had somebody that was just like they'd never made a mistake and they were perfect, but they were miserable the whole time they were doing it. They gripe and complain about everything, and it just. I mean, as a manager, I would rather go back and clean up their mess. That they like the job and like being there, than I would to have somebody that was perfect and never made a mistake, and yet they were miserable and the whole job was a grief to them. The hours too long, the pay's not good enough, all the different things that they could complain about, you know. And I always remember I had this kid Brian working for me one time, and we worked in customer service. I was managing a restaurant, and he just was hateful to people that came in. I said, Brian, don't you understand that customer service, I don't care if you can make the food right. Customer service is your responsibility. I said, if somebody comes in this place and it's 1 minute to close and that open light is on, you better treat them like they came here the first of the day and there's nothing else, and they're the only one around. I said, you have to be kind, because if the light is on, that means we're here to serve people. I don't care if they come in and order 25 sandwiches in 1 minute to closing time. We have a closing time for a reason. And I said, and you better make their food with a great attitude. If not, I said, I said, you will quit. I said, I'm not going to fire you, but you will quit. And he could not understand. And it got to him one day. He did change his attitude and became a good employee. But for a while, and he was good. He was always on time. He hardly ever made mistakes. But he just brought a miserable attitude to the workplace. And so it's good that we know the Bible and obey the Bible, but the real love of God is if we like obeying the Bible, if we like keeping the commandments. And when we love God, we like obeying God. We like keeping the commandments. It's not a grievous thing for us to do that. And when you notice what grievous means here, it says here, it means to be afflicted. Is God will afflicted for you? Is somebody God afflicting you by having you do His will? Always, since basketball was my God for many years, I always think of how I willingly suffer through basketball. Get up early and jog, and for really any sports. I remember I used to get up 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go jog when I was playing football. We had this bridge, and I'd run up inside the bridge. I mean, real steep bank, run up inside, up and down the side of the bridge, so I could build drive in my legs, so it'd be hard for me to be tackled. I think of the weights I lifted, and you know, when you lift weights to get stronger, what actually happens? What actually happens to your muscle? What do you have to do to your muscles really to make them stronger when you lift the weights?
Well, micro-traumatized the muscle problems.
Now the micro, what the word you say? That means tear, right? So you got to tear the muscle, and if you lift a weight for a period of time, that does not feel good. It hurts. You know? Especially when you push out that last set. If you ever go to a real weight gym, that's when you hear a guy go, oh! There's a bunch of screaming going on, hollering like a bunch of stuck hogs in there, you know. But they're tearing their muscles to make them so stronger. And they willingly do that for the God at this time, which is the body. And you can tell in the gym where they worship. That's why they have mirrors everywhere, you know. I wish I could have some video of myself back when I used to lift weights. I would love to just, it would be so demoralizing to see how many times I probably walked by the mirror and saw if I was doing anything there, you know, and just how prideful it was. I mean, it would just look so, I mean, I wish I could have that video. I mean, I can picture some other guys used to do it, but I'd like to see me because I know I was ate up just as much as everybody else was. But the point I'm making is that willingness to suffer, and nobody had to wake me up early to go suffer. Nobody had to push me to suffer. In fact, I picked people to work out with that would help me suffer. I didn't pick somebody that didn't want to push themselves hard. I picked somebody that would actually help me to suffer. You know, but and as strange as it seems, I liked it. You know why? Because that's what I love, and that was my God at that time. And that's as strange as it may seem. I remember that guy cursed me out not too long ago, and I said, praise the Lord that I was being treated like Jesus Christ. And when you actually love God, then the things that seem to be afflicted with other people, hey, when somebody takes advantage of me, when my heart is right, when my love of God is right, the Bible says, rejoice in that day. It says, and leap for joy when people persecute you and take advantage of you. But if you love God, you won't consider the will of God to be painful for you. It would also, I'm speaking of the word grievous here because we read the verse, but for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And you won't consider it to be hard to be born. Well, how in the world is that possible? Well, I think, didn't Jesus say, my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Is Jesus a liar? So in the love of God, when we're in the will of God, and we like what we're doing for God, we like the suffering. And people that are in certain professions right now, you know what they did? They suffered. I think when I was in university, I mean, staying up, getting up early sometimes to finish a project before it's time to go to class. Staying up late. I can remember being in cram session with people at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for a final exam. You know, studying, suffering, denying sleep, and trying to get these things accomplished so that I could excel or achieve, and willingly going into those, into the great sacrifice of money, you know. All these different things. For me. For myself. And so, if we love God, we'll like these things. We don't consider it hard to be born. It means also grievous, means all being causing grief or sorrow. Do you look at God's plan for your life? Does it cause you sorrow? Do you think, man, is that really what God wants me to do? Then you need to pray and ask God to help you love Him more. Because you're not in the love of God. And if you're not in the love of God, you're not really loving other people. And that's what hinders you from loving the Son. And God loves you. And you know what? Can I tell you a strange thing? People that love you, you know what? They like to be loved back. Is that right? Is that a strange concept? That's true, isn't it? People, if you love somebody, wouldn't it be nice if they loved you in return? I mean, you can love them. If you really love them, you can love them anyway. Because God did. God proved that. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think of the numerous times God pleaded with me to do His will. And I considered the times I considered His will to be grievous to me. It didn't cause His love for me to lessen one bit. Man, that's the love of God. Didn't cause His love for me to waver one bit. In fact, He loved me because He still knows His will was best. Come back, come on. Quit running from me. John 14, most of the Bible says here. Hold your place, we'll come back. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Looking at thought, if you love God, you will like obedience. If you love God, you will like obedience. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You got a Bible? Are you keeping the Bible? He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Know what that means? That if you really love God, you will experience a relationship with God deepening. You know why many people's relationship with God are not very deep? Well, we said if you love God, you listen to Him. It goes back to the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. That's how you hear from God. You need to pray. That's how you get wisdom from God. When you love Him, when you keep the commandments, that shows that you love God. And when you love God, you should be loved, though God is already loved, but you are loved more because when you love God, you're in a situation where you can love more. You know, because my wife and I love each other, we stay together. And because we have stayed together, we have been in a situation where we can actually love each other more. But guess what? If we don't love one another, if we depart from one another, if my wife leaves home today, even if I love her, I will not be able to love her as much. As far as actively doing things, acts of love. Now, in my heart, I still love her, and conversely, the same would be true if I left today. Then, so he said, "Nay, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." And so if you love God, if you love others, you're going to love God. And as you abide in the plan of God, we see the principles here, you naturally do those things that are pleasing in His sight. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Notice the Bible says in verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Well, some people say, "Well, but I surrendered to God. What else does God want?" I was hearing Brother Bell saying this, and we both were in the military. And when he brought this principle, I thought it would be true. You know, in the military, there are times that you are taught you are to surrender. You can be overwhelmed by the enemy, and based on the overwhelming odds, it's best for you and your platoon to actually surrender. But you know, that surrender is a surrender that you submitted to the strength of any enemy for that moment in time, but you're always looking for an opportunity to escape. And that's the way many people live the Christian life. They surrender to God, but they're always looking for an opportunity to really do what they want to do. That's not love. God wants us. God wants our undivided attention. He said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." So you abide in it. You know, when you love God, man, you just, and that's just where you want to be. You know, that's you're not looking to go anywhere else. Not looking to be anywhere else. When you really start getting in the Word of God, that's where you'll want to be. You know, if you start this 90-day schedule, you'll experience a transformation if you actually commit to doing it. You'll experience, for a while, it'll be the pressure of the schedule. You'll be thinking, man, that's a lot of reading. I don't know how I can do it. And you'll be trying to keep the schedule. And you'll find the more you saturate it, and really anybody reads the schedule, even if you try to read the Bible in a year, this same thing will happen. You'll be trying to keep the schedule, and you'll be looking, man, I can't do it. And you'll be looking, and you'll be so concerned about finishing that you won't really get what's there. And then for a time, you just have to read, because, and read and just keep going. But then there'll be a time where you'll get the reading, and your relationship with God will deepen, and you'll be thinking, man, you'll start to abide here. And then you won't, and you'll be wanting to stay there. I'm amazed at how I can read the Bible faster than I used to, and I can read more faster, even rereading passages again and again and again, because I'm looking for something there. And what happens is time just flies by in a greater way. We see it here, Genesis chapter 29. Something I came across, and I said this before, it's amazing. It's always easier to read a book about the Bible than it is to read the Bible. Because Satan didn't fight as much when we try to read about the Bible. Because even though I believe in godly books, I believe in godly instruction, but every word of God is pure. And I like to get things straight from the source, you know. We're in a naturalist movement. Everything's organic, right? Organic this, organic that. Why don't we have organic Christianity, you know? Let's just get it from the Word of God, amen? It's funny how people be loyal to an organic diet, but won't be loyal to organic Christianity. You know, we want our things on top of God. Why? Because it tastes better. It's easier to digest, we think, whatever. But in Genesis 29, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We think about it, if you love God, you like obedience. And obedience is simply the way we serve God. Now we see here, Jacob, he's looking for a wife, and man, he falls in love with Rachel. Man, he sees her, he knows this is the one that he wants. In Genesis 29, verse 15, "And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou serve me for naught? Tell me what shall be thy wages. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And we see something, you know, I don't really know what this may have some historical significance or cultural significance that I have not studied out. But if I were Rachel, I would think, man, this guy loves me. He's willing to serve 7 years just so I can be his wife. That's something, you know. We got men today don't want to work. Period. They want their wives to support them, you know. And that's terrible. But he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I should give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And notice verse 20. "And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel." Notice this here. "And they seem unto him as a grievous, miserable, long time." It doesn't say that, does it? It says, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. You know, it's funny how you can say things as an ignorant young husband. You know, I think about the times when I tried to explain to my wife how hard I was working for her to take care of her and the family. You know what that meant? I would have had problems with my love. But there are many times when whatever it took to take care of their needs, that's what was done. I wasn't thinking about preserving my health. I wasn't thinking about any hobbies I need to do. I was thinking about, I love them. I want to take care of them. And even now, when I strive to endeavor to be the Christian that God wants me to be, at times when I fast, when I pray, and I'm thinking about them and trying to pray and that their life be everything that God wanted to be, and the same for you. When my heart is right, it's not like, oof, I love them. It just seemed like that's what it has to be. And just goes by. But Jacob says, they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had her. He loved her so much that this service, just to have her, to spend more time with her, that's what marriage is about, spending more time, and as a husband giving your life for her, seemed just a few days. You know, I was thinking about the other day, and this March, we will have been in Canada 10 years. March 17th. That's when we had our first service, March 17th, 2002. You know what it just seemed like? A few days. I praise God for that. I mean, I can say this with an honest heart, that it really has just gone by. You know, because I love being here. I've never been thinking, this is forever, you know. It's like, wow, it just seemed like a few days. I cannot believe that we've been here 10 years already, just like that. And I praise God for that. And it's only, and He gets all the credit for that. But you know, if you love God, you'll like obeying God. And if you love others, you'll like serving others. It's the same. And see, when you love God, you naturally love what God loves. And God would like us to be a loving group of people. You know that? I mean, we need to, but to love, you have to hate. We said it the other day. You know, you either love the Lord, hate evil. You know, so that means love is not, love, honestly, let me tell you something, love does not mean acceptance. But guess what? If you're here today and you love sin, I don't accept that. Because I couldn't love you if I accept that. If you're here today and you live in your own way and not God's way, I don't accept that. Because that means I don't really love what's best for your life. That means I really don't care about what's best for your life. I don't accept that if you live in your own way. Love is not acceptance. If you're here today and you have a half-hearted relationship with God, I don't accept that. I love you, and I pray for you that those things will change. I pray that you'll repent and you'll turn from that. But I don't accept that, because that's not what's best for you. Because God has something better for you. He has more of you. If you're here today and you recognize that, man, you don't really love Jesus like you should, I don't accept that. You say you want God, but you don't want to live the life of a real Christian. I don't accept that. Because God has something better for you. If you're here today and you claim the love of other people, but you don't really keep the commandments, I don't accept that. Because love is not acceptance. Because I want what's best for you. And yes, and by the way, can I tell you, God doesn't accept it either. And because God is love, and God is never satisfied. That's why for the child of God, the Holy Spirit just keeps dwelling in a person, keeps kicking a person. The Holy Spirit, thank God for the kick of the Holy Spirit. You know? When Paul got saved, and remember when the light knocked him off his beast, and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Holy Spirit didn't kick it against Saul. Paul, you need to repent. You need to stop hurting. You stop going your way. You know why? Because he didn't accept Paul or Saul at that time the way he was. David, even though to be a man of God's own heart, he committed adultery. But you know, he didn't accept that adultery. Because he sent Nathan the prophet to go get him and to get him to turn around. He didn't accept it. And so he went after him. Shoo. And he got David back. God never left anybody. God never accepts anybody's in their own way. That's why he sent Jesus to die. Because behold, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, the Bible says. And so God didn't accept that. He sent a ransom through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If a parent really loves their child, they don't accept disobedience. Because they know disobedience will destroy them. They will correct them. That's what the Bible said. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Because why would you? Because love is not acceptance. Because a parent loves his child, they don't spare the son because they don't accept improper behavior. God always loves us, but it's not acceptance. If my heart's not right over something, if I'm not serving God properly, guess what? God does not accept that. Hey, it didn't work in your home. It didn't work with your husband and your wife relationship. Hey, if you got a party that's not treating you, not living right, if you love them, you just don't accept that. You know, you want to do something about it. You know, if your spouse is doing something detrimental to themselves, you know, you don't accept that. You love them unconditionally, but you don't accept the things that are destroying their own life. That's why, again, love, that's why you get the wounds sometimes. Faith are the wounds of a friend. Now, when you wound, you may experience a lack of love. You may experience rejection. But your love is so great for that person that you're willing to take that chance of being rejected. And that's why many times we like to think that love is acceptance, because honestly we fear rejection. And so we fear rejection so much that I just rather not say anything. And just like a lot of churches would just say, man, just love God and that's all. They won't say anything about Jesus. Because they know that the moment they say what Jesus said, and Jesus said, I am the way, single article, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. They know that's going to separate some people. That's going to cause some rejection. Because you can speak about God. That's why even in the 12-step program, it points about God. I mean, if you read the 12-step program, man, it sounds good. It says, you have to come to the end of yourself and admit that God, that you have no authority to help yourself, but God is the answer. But it doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ. I mean, it doesn't say even who God is. Your God could be this piano. It could be the chair. It could be a stone. It could be a rock. Long as you admit to that rock and surrender to that God as your deliverer, then that's what the 12-step program advocates. They say they're not allowed to be religious, but that's religion in and of itself. No, but when you... And by the way, if you're here today and you say you love God, and you believe you can love God without giving your life to Jesus Christ, I don't accept that, because God doesn't accept that. Because of the verse I just quoted in the Bible. If you're here today and you believe that you can do enough good works to get to heaven and to please God, I don't accept that. Because the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So I don't accept that, and God doesn't either. And you look at Galatians, when people trust in circumcision, which is a religious act. Jesus said in the Word of God, if you believe circumcision, Christ shall profit you nothing. So if you rest in any good work for your salvation, Christ didn't profit you at all. If you believe you can live a Christian life and please God without the first and great commandment, I don't accept that. Because God doesn't accept it either. If I think I can live the Christian life without living wholeheartedly the first great commandment, you shouldn't accept that of me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you look at my life and you don't believe God is not first in my life, let's say that right. If you look at my life and you don't think that God is first in my life, you should not accept that. Because God doesn't accept it. But conversely, if you're here today and God's not first in your life, I love you. But love is not acceptance. I do not accept that. Because you'll be foolish and you'll be the person in bondage. Now, you may be able to please people in the world by trusting your own heart. But it's foolish. And you live a life of bondage, trapped by the God that cannot deliver you, which is the God of yourself. Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, should make you free, you should be free indeed. And God is so good to us. Why not love Him? Why not love Him? And we have to come to the place where God really desires that we love Him. Looking at the verses where we started, 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should be born again. "And everyone that loveth Him that begat," which is the Father is the one that begets, "loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." So if you love God, you'll love Jesus, you'll love His Son. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God." You want to love people? It says here, right here, when we love God and keep His commandments. If you don't love God and keep His commandments, you don't love people. Because you can't love people if you don't love God and keep His commandments, according to what the Bible says. So to be the person, to be the loving person God wants you to be, love God first. And by loving God, you'll hear the commandments, and the commandments show you how to love each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. How does iron sharpen iron? Number one, iron sharpens iron by, number one, close contact. So you can't be a loner and love God and love people. And iron sharpens iron by grinding on each other. That means sometimes you don't have a friend that says something, man, he's like, "I really didn't want to hear that right now." but you get sharper because you look at the Bible, if it's a godly friend, if it's a real friend, they will be a godly friend because only friends can love, according to that, and God is love. It will grind. And it's sharp. You know what's amazing? Sometimes when I'm thinking maybe I'm too repetitive, like I sharpen knives in my house. But I learned to do when I was working in a turkey plant. One of the greatest skills I ever learned, to keep a knife sharp. I didn't know you could have a sharp knife until I worked there. I used to have all these dull knives and just grinding. But you know what? I used the same steel. I had the steel I've had now. I've got two steels for. But since I worked in a turkey plant, so at least 15 years, almost as long as I've been saved, I've had the same two steels to sharpen knives with. You do the same way all the time. And there's one steel that's called a honing steel. If I'm faithful and consistent in honing the knife, then all I have to do is about every other day just hone it. But if I'm unfaithful and I'm not consistent in honing and keeping the knife sharp, then I have to get out what's called the rough steel. And then I have to set the steel down. I have to take the knife, and I got to take some pressure. Then I have to grind. I have to go a little harder, and I have to dig a little bit more. Because the edge has gotten so dull, it takes some effort. I really got to grind, all because of a lack of maintenance. And depending on where you are with God, your friend may have to grind. If you're trying to walk with God and you're staying up in a relationship with God, then you just kind of casually encourage one another. That's what Hebrews, I think it's 3:13 is about, which says, "But exhort one another daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." If you have godly friends, they exhort you daily and try to encourage you to walk with God. But what happens most often in the world? You got casual religious acquaintances, and then one of them kind of gets on fire for God. in the best case scenario. And then they start trying to encourage you. And you know what, man, it's because y'all both been walking this mediocre Christian life, all of a sudden, man, they're grinding on you. It's just like, man. Because you couldn't own each other because you were half-hearted before, but now they're grinding on you. And you know why? Because they want a sharp knife. They want a sharp person. Sometimes we have revival meetings. Sometimes even, and during the revival meetings, they just tend to be a little more grindy. Get kind of to the bone. And sometimes I have messages that are a little bit stronger and more direct and more pointed. And they seem like they're grinding, you know. Just like someone said, I said about acceptance. That to some that, I mean, that's true, but some that was kind of grinding. I mean, that was kind of, you felt like that's kind of hard. And some were just honing because that's where you're pursuing in the first place. But when you love the children of God, you love God and keep His commandments. And I believe that we have a group of people here that desire to love one another. I'd ask you, where's your relationship with God today? Are you loving God and keeping His commandments? Are you accepting anything about your way? Are you committed to Matthew 6:33, seek you first? Is God first in your life? Then you, if He's not, then you're, I promise you, you're not loving each other like you should. And I'm not committed to the great command. Love with all of my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my might. And I'm not loving people like I should. And if I really want to know I'm in the love of God, then I like obedience. You want to know where your love is right now? I just quoted some verses in Matthew 6:33. Don't raise your hand, but is it a grievous thing to you right now to stop your life the way it is and put God first? Then you probably need to repent. That means turn from your way, and then your love for God will grow, and your love for others will grow. And you know what? You'll see Jesus in a different way because He gave everything for you. And you'll stop loving yourself as much. And you know what? When you stop loving yourself as much, your life gets better because then you live the way God wants you to live, and you love other people and take care of other people. So God said, love with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your might. Is that a grievous thing to consider? Then, if that's grievous to you, then you need to repent. Say, God, help me to love you more. God, help me to love you more. Jesus said that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that a grievous concept? If that is, then you need to repent and say, God, I don't love you enough. Help me love you more. Jesus said to love your enemies and to bless them that curse you. Right? I'm like, I don't even let nobody walk over me. You need to repent and ask God to help you to love Him more so you love others more. Jesus said, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Are you willing right now to live your life all for the glory of God? If that's a grievous concept, you need to repent. And you say, God, I don't love you enough. Help me love you more. And even the people you think you love. Because what happens most often, if you're not in the love of God, this is what happens. You love people. You love people that have relationships like what we're talking about. Because, man, when you need something, they're there for you. And they're willingly there for you. But will you be the one? The question is, will you be the one? When I preach messages like this, I made a decision. I think it was late last year. I think I said it. I'm tired of defining the right type of Christian. I plan to be the right type of Christian. I don't want to get caught up in saying everything is wrong everywhere without being the right type of Christian I'm going to be. So my heart is that I want to love you as a pastor like I'm supposed to love you. I want to love my wife as a husband like I'm supposed to love her. I want to love my children like I'm supposed to love my children. And that only is accomplished by me loving God properly and keeping His commandments and liking it while I'm doing it. I mean, we said this Heart Month, that all over the city on Valentine's Day, men grudgingly bought things for their wives and their girlfriends. Men grudgingly took their wives out to dinner, their girlfriends out to dinner, did things for them. And the wives were just so impressed, and the girlfriends were so impressed with that. No, they saw it earned her to half a point that at least did it, but they really didn't enjoy it because they knew their heart wasn't in it. Because they could just sense the lack of love for them. And granted, I understand the world established that day, but I'm saying, but when the love is right, see, this is what love finds out. It doesn't matter if the world establishes a day or not. What matters is, would it mean something to my wife if I took her to Island that day? It didn't matter if the world established Valentine's Day. The thought that I have to come up with is, would it mean something to Susan if I took some time out of my schedule and took her out to lunch that day? And if I listen to her, I'll know that. Because remember, love listens, right? And if it does mean something to her, it don't matter, since it didn't cause me to go against God, to spend some time with her and take her out to lunch, then that's what I do, by the grace of God. Because love wants to spend the time. Love likes the gift. Love likes the act of service. Love likes sacrificing for people. Love enjoys sacrificing for people. But if it's grievous, then you need to examine your heart. And see, when you know God, see, and God made it simple. You know, see, men and women, we can be fickle. You know, sometimes we're not honest with each other all the time. And that's about relationships. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out what people are actually being honest about, to really know what people like and what they dislike. Because there again, why Christ is so important, because we need to be transparent people. And that's why every real relationship should be built upon Christ, because then you'll be honest with each other and you won't have to walk through back a bunch of hang-ups and baggage and things. And you're trying to figure it out. And Christ said, here it is. You want to know what I like? He said, you want to know what I love? Here it is. You don't have to be confused about it. In fact, he said, you may not even read all the Bible yet. Since you hadn't read all the Bible yet, he said, I'm going to help you. I've put James 1:5 in there. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So since you're not sure, just ask me what to do. I said, I'll help you. I'll help you to love me. They make it easy for us, amen? So we don't have to wonder, you know? You don't have to play the guessing game like we do in relationships sometimes. We can know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Well, I think we